you want to raise more money and connect with more supporters this Giving Tuesday and throughout the entire giving season? Then check out GiveButter. GiveButter is ranked as the number one software for fundraising, donor management, and auctions by G2, the largest independent software review site. And the best part? GiveButter's all-in-one fundraising platform is completely free to use forever. So just go to jcsocialmarketing.com/GiveButter to create your account, and you could win a free campaign marketing review session with me and the GiveButter team. So go to jcsocialmarketing.com/GiveButter. I can't wait to see you raising more money online. On with the show.
Hello, and welcome to Nonprofit Nation. I'm your host, Julia Campbell, and I'm going to sit down with nonprofit industry experts, fundraisers, marketers, and everyone in between to get real and discuss what it takes to build that movement that you've been dreaming of. I created the Nonprofit Nation podcast to share practical wisdom and strategies to help you confidently find your voice, definitively grow your audience, and effectively build your movement. If you're a nonprofit newbie or an experienced professional who's looking to get more visibility, reach more people, and create even more impact, then you're in the right place. Let's get started.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Nonprofit Nation. I'm your host, Julia Campbell. I'm really excited to be here today to talk about digital communications, obviously one of my all-time favorite things. And this particular episode is going to answer the question, how can nonprofits explore or start to experiment with short-form video, such as TikTok, Reels, and Shorts? My guest today is Kate Myers Emery, PhD, an anthropologist with over 15 years of experience creating engaging digital experiences both online and in person. As Candid's digital communications manager, she uses experimentation and data-driven storytelling to get people to the information they need to do good in the digital space. Kate is one of BizTech's 30 must-follow nonprofit IT influencers worth following in 2022. Kate, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on, Julie. I am a huge fan of your podcast.
Oh,
it's really exciting to be a guest on it today.
Well, I love what you wrote in your bio. It looks like we have the same passion. You wrote, her passion is making and using digital tools to educate and engage audiences in unexpected ways. I really love that. So, Kate, there's so much to start with. So why don't we start with how I found you and approached you? I read a blog post that you wrote for Candid. If people are not familiar with Candid, it's Foundation Center and GuideStar combined, candid.org. Candid connects people who want to change the world to the resources they need to do it. And they conducted a three-month study to see if short-form videos would make a difference in engagement and follower growth while also looking at the effect on staff time. And you really had some very interesting findings. But Kate, I'd love to hear, first of all, how did this experiment come to be?
Well, I think everyone is curious about video. I think especially in the nonprofit sector where a lot of people haven't actually tried doing video, there's just been this interest in, you know, can we do TikToks? Can we do Reels? The problem with doing video is that if you just make a video here or there for these platforms, you really don't get enough data to know if your audience likes it or if you can sustain it. Mm-hmm. Luckily for me, Candid actually has an innovation fund, and this gives staff funding and time to focus on a project for 3 months. And so I used that opportunity to try doing short-form video. And we were able to really see, you know, is video something that works for Candid?
Mm-hmm. And what I thought was most interesting, we were talking about this before I hit record, is that Candid does not have animals or children or beautiful landscapes. You said they don't really even have people to feature. So I thought that would be really interesting for you to talk about why you thought short form video would work and sort of how you created the strategy and maybe tell a little bit about the kind of content that you were sharing.
Yeah, happy to. So most of the work that we're doing is digital. We're serving people digitally. And so we don't really have, you know, we don't have a cute puppy that we can bring on screen. My cat has made some appearances.
Great.
Other than that, what you will see when you look at our videos is mainly candid staff. And what we decided to do with a lot of the short form video content was just share things that would be useful, share things that would be educational, showcase, you know, the resources that Candid has to help nonprofits get more funding, to help funders find nonprofits, to help donors make smart decisions. So we really wanted to just share everything that we had to offer. And I think for other nonprofits, you know, who don't have kittens or kids or audiences that they can share, you really can think about, you know, what makes you unique? What do you have to offer? And have your staff showcase that instead.
I think that's a fantastic strategy because a lot of organizations really struggle on social media and struggle with content creation because they automatically put up this roadblock where they think, well, if we don't have anything that is immediately translatable to some kind of visual medium, then we don't have anything at all. But what you said is so important, you know, become the go-to resource. Think about what makes you unique. Think about what might draw people to you. So which accounts did you already have sort of in the social media space, and which ones did you create for this experiment?
So Candid already had Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube. We had the big ones. For the actual experiment itself, the only account that we added was TikTok. Prior, though, we had not been using the Reels or Shorts features that were part of Instagram and YouTube. So that was an addition as well.
Yes. So that there was already sort of an Instagram and YouTube presence, but you hadn't been using those features.
Correct.
Okay. So tell me what you learned. What are some of the things that you discovered during this 3-month experiment?
We learned so much. We ended up creating 84 videos in that time, and we learned a lot about just the type of content that people liked, how to engage, what types of videos work and what don't. But overall, what we saw was that people did love video as part of our broader strategy. It really complemented what we were doing in other spaces with, you know, like our online training and our resources. This was just a really fun alternative way to people for people to learn from us. I think on my end, the thing I learned was that video takes way more time than anticipated. I already knew that video took a lot of time, but it was even beyond what I had expected. We were hoping that it would be around 15 to 20% of my time, and it ended up being about 30%. So this became a massive part of my job for the period that we were doing the experiment. And there's a very steep learning curve. Even just the staff that we were having in our videos, even if we wrote the script, even if we prepped them, it's still a little bit weird making videos for the first time. So it takes time.
Yeah. Do you think that you are finding more of your footing now? Do you feel like people are more comfortable? And how long do you think it takes to kind of get that momentum going?
By the end of the 3-month period, we were a lot more comfortable. We'd kind of hit our stride. People felt very comfortable with the way that, you know, you have to hold the camera and you have to emote on screen so that you appear the way that you want. We also, you know, learned a lot about like how to create content faster. And yeah, so I think it was about the 3-month mark. Like just as the experiment was wrapping up, I was like, oh, but now I feel comfy with this.
No, I love that. So what were the measures of success? I mean, what really drew me to this experiment was you had really three specific measures of success, if I'm getting it correctly. So engagement, growth, and staff time.
Yeah.
Were there other things you were looking at?
Those were the key ones. So we wanted the engagement, the likes, the clicks, the comments to be double of what we saw for static Instagram posts. We were hoping to see about 10% growth of followers on Instagram and similar numbers of followers on TikTok. I think at the time it was, you know, we were hoping for like 5,000 followers. And the big one for me was just, would we be able to sustain this? So we wanted to take under 20% of my time and for actual production of videos, be under a half hour of time per video for each staff member.
Oh, wow. And is that the result that you achieved?
We did fold the engagement. So the engagement metric was spot on. We were able to do that, and that was really exciting. Followers, not so much. I think we ended the experiment with like 600 TikTok followers, so we were nowhere near the 5,000 mark we had hoped for. And time-wise, it was, you know, at least 30% of my time, and staff, it was sometimes taking up to an hour per video for them to create it. So it was a lot more of a time investment than we paid it.
Yes, I found that too, especially with Reels, because there's just editing and there's all sorts of things that go into making, you know, a successful video. So which channel was the most successful for you?
The one that ended up being the surprise for us and has given us the most success is actually YouTube Shorts. We didn't go into the experiment thinking that we were going to use YouTube Shorts. We were focusing on Reels and TikTok. But partway through, we decided we would just start posting to Shorts as well, since we already had the content. And it was really surprising at how well the content did and how much attention it drew to content that we already had on YouTube. So we have a lot of, you know, like half hour to hour long webinars. And those all saw a boost because of this YouTube Shorts content that we are making. So that was one of the fun surprises from this whole thing.
And so you made 84 videos. How often would you say you were posting on each of the channels over the 3 months? Like, what was the frequency per week? Oh, daily. Okay.
Yeah, we did 5 days a week. So work days. So we did every single one.
Do you think that that is a piece of the success that you had, was the consistency?
I think so. I think you need to be consistent, particularly at the beginning when you're trying to build that follower base and get people used to this new form of content.
Yeah.
I don't know if we had to go all in. I think, you know, if Candid was posting twice a week from the beginning, it probably would have been fine. But we wanted to make a big swing. We really just wanted to try this and see if it could work.
Something I just love about this is the focus length of the experiment, the parameters. It's not just, okay, we're going to try this for a couple of weeks, but we don't really have a strategy. We don't really know what we want to achieve. And then we're going to just see what happens. That's what I think a lot of organizations fall into and struggle with. They're just going to post something, not really measure it, not really see if it's, you know, generating sort of the results that they want. But I love that there's like 3 months and then we're going to do this for 3 months and we're going to see what happens. What were the most popular types of video? Like, can you tell me about some of the things you talked about in the video, some of the educational videos you created?
Yeah, it was the ones that were more along the lines of edutainment, that perfect mix of entertainment and education. Those were the ones that ended up getting the most likes, the most comments, had the best reaction. And they honestly varied by topic and by presenter. So there wasn't necessarily like a perfect recipe that we found at the end of this for making a great video. It really came down to, you know, was there a strong takeaway? Was there something that people could learn from Candid that they could share with somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the biggest one. one of the key things that we learned from content was that you don't need to do trends.
Mm-hmm.
We did some of the trends to try them, and we're still doing some trends. But our top videos are not trends. They're just good old-fashioned, here's a tip that you can use today for your nonprofit.
That's going to make a lot of digital marketing managers out there very happy. So they don't have to do the dances, or I don't even know what the trends are lately. Like, they don't have, you don't have to use a trending sound or a trending piece of audio.
Yeah, and in some cases, you don't want to. One of the things that Candid is very aware about in everything that we do is copyright. And are we allowed to use this? Is this the right thing to use? So we're very careful about the trends that we decide to put in.
Yes. Okay. So actually, that brings me to another question. How did you decide on the content? Was it sort of like you had to run it past your executive director or staff members? Was there a committee designed around creating and posting this content? Like, how did you get permission?
You know, there isn't really a process for that. What we decided to do with a lot of this content was just look broadly at what people liked to already see from Candid. So we were looking at what are evergreen content pieces that, you know, what is our top blog post? What's our top help resource? What is our top YouTube video? And we took a lot of inspiration from that. So we were repurposing a lot of content that we already knew was successful in other formats.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't really this like approval process. We were making things that we knew worked with our audience. We made sure that everything was within our brand guidelines. We checked brand voice. But we didn't actually have kind of this big approval process to it.
Okay, I think that's great. So you already got the buy-in, and we know because Candid has this innovation fund that they're willing and able to explore different kinds of, you know, avenues for engagements, which I think is great. I wish more organizations would do that, would invest in that. But I wanted to ask you also, what were some of the biggest challenges that you came up against, things that maybe you didn't anticipate, things that maybe you did anticipate?
I think probably the biggest challenge was just getting over the awkwardness of making videos. Mm-hmm. I don't think people know how weird it can be to make a TikTok video. And so there was one of the challenges was just getting people used to having fun with the content and not feeling, you know, embarrassed to be making this stuff and recognizing that there is value in sharing topics that are serious in ways that can feel really accessible to a different audience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was an obstacle we kind of faced more at the beginning when we started sharing, like, hey, we're going to make TikToks. Because there was this assumption of, like, okay, you're going to do dances and people are going to learn what from that? And we were able to get through that obstacle by just showing the value of it, showing the analytics, showing the comments, and that, you know, we were reaching new audiences right within the first month. We had a number of people that were like, hey, I didn't know Candid existed. I'm so glad I found this resource. And it's like, all right, you know, there's the argument for being on this platform. And having that was able to get us through that obstacle of like, you know, this is a little bit weird to be making, you know, to be using audio from Lady Gaga to share like why you should start a nonprofit. Like it's a little bit weird of a process, but it works.
That's a huge challenge I know a lot of my clients face, where they, you know, the person in charge of creating the content or maybe the fundraiser marketing manager wants to explore some of these different channels, but they get so much resistance from people in the organization who are not using social media actively. Actually, I just talked to a client yesterday, and she is struggling with getting her executive director on board with getting on TikTok because the executive director is not on TikTok. They don't understand the value of it, and it's really hard to show it without just doing it. Like, you just got to get on board. So, like, what advice would you give to someone listening that says, oh my gosh, I really want to start this, but they feel like they need to convince other people in their organization? I'm sure you did a lot of convincing.
Yes, yeah. To even get this to be part of Candid's Innovation Fund, I had to write a proposal for it. And the way that that proposal kind of convinced people was a number of things. I think the first was just pulling data from across the internet about the research that's been done on video, showing that, you know, this is a really important medium for certain audiences. I mean, especially if you want to reach younger audiences, you need to start exploring video. The other thing that I did was we had posted a couple reels prior to that, and the response had been fantastic. So we just pointed to those examples of saying, you know, we posted this one video and within the first 24 hours, it had 2,000 views. That's a lot more than we normally get within the first 24 hours on some of our other posts. Like, this could be a win.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like using, you make it as an experiment. If you have it as a set 3 months, it's a lot easier to get people to buy into. I'm going to do this for 3 months and then we can address it. And if it doesn't work, we'll move on.
That's just so smart to frame it that way. Whereas it's not saying we're going to get on TikTok and we're going to post every day forever. We're going to see if it can help us accomplish our goals. And also, I love that important piece of analyzing staff time and staff bandwidth, because it's not even really just about engagement and followers. It's about what art, like you said, you wanted it to be sustainable. So I just have a couple more questions, and then I want to hear what's next for you in the short form video space. But what was the most unexpected outcome?
I think one of the kind of unexpected things that happened from this was there was just such a love for Candid's edutainment videos.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, we had hoped that that would happen. It was still unexpected when it did happen, of that, you know, just having people share a 7-second tip. Some of our most popular videos are just staff members sharing something that they find valuable, that they thought other people would find valuable. And I think Candid has previously taken a more serious approach to the way that we talk about the sector. And we weren't sure how our audiences were going to react to us being more playful with things and having a little bit of fun with talking about mm-hmm. nonprofits. And it was exciting that people did like seeing us being more human and just sharing things that could be helpful and could help others do more good in the world. Personally, though, I think the thing that I was most excited about and that was unexpected was that there was this interest in this process of how we did the experiment, particularly because this is not a success story. We ended it by saying, okay, we're not sure video is actually right for us. This took too much time.
Mm-hmm.
We need to reassess it. And I'm lucky that Candid really does value transparency. So I got to be able to be open about this whole process.
Right. The blog has all the numbers and everything. Great.
Yeah. We talked about this quite a bit and have been transparent about, you know, that this didn't fully work for us. We can't move forward with posting daily. And I'm so glad that we got to do that because it's opened up a lot of really amazing conversations about the work that we're doing and the value of transparency and sharing it with others.
That's really interesting. And thank you for being so honest with us. And I'm going to put the post in the show notes. It has all the data, all the numbers. And yeah, it's a really candid. It's a candid take. It is. But it's a very honest and open and transparent take on the reality of doing this work. And what I love most is that it opened you up to decide, like you just said, whether or not this is for you, because you cannot just look at something like TikTok or Instagram Reels and say, it's not for me, or, oh, this is going to be great, until you do it. You just sort of have to get in there and get your hands dirty and roll up your sleeves and do it. And then maybe decide you want to scale it down or scale it back, or maybe you just want to focus on YouTube Shorts, right? If that was giving you a lot of traction. So it's all just about testing and measuring and analyzing. And I really appreciate that. So what is next for you? What is next? Will you continue doing this kind of video a little bit? Are there different channels you're exploring?
So for about 6 months after the experiment, we moved back to doing about a video per month. Well, we took time to figure out if we really did want to take this on. And as of June, we decided, we do want to do this again. We are going to invest more time in it. And we are able to be a lot more efficient about the way that we were creating the videos. So now we're doing about 2 a week. It's a lot more manageable. If we can do 3, we'll do that. But the goal is 2. And we are still experimenting. Right now, we're doing a lot of experiments around what type of videos stick and which don't. So we're playing a lot more with, if we create things that feel like Washington Post style sketches, are those going to get more traction than doing the trends? So we're doing a lot more playing with content style right now.
Well, I'm going to put all of the links in the show notes for people to follow you. So something that I think is really interesting, you have a PhD in anthropology.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did you get started in digital communication?
So my PhD is specifically in archaeology, and I actually studied cemeteries.
Can you watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, just out of curiosity?
I do, yeah.
Okay, it's my favorite show.
I'm a big fan of all things dead.
And Indiana Jones, I'm sure you've never heard of that before.
Oh, yeah, no, never. I'll look it up, though.
Right.
So I've always had an interest in storytelling, and with archaeology and anthropology, my interest was in sharing stories that people hadn't heard before or had been underheard. Throughout history, like, women aren't really in history, children aren't in history, a lot of different groups are just absent, and so I wanted to go into archaeology to help raise those voices. And during graduate school, I basically paid for school by doing digital for people. So I built websites, I managed building a video game, I ran a ton of different social media accounts, and created mobile apps, basically anything I could do that related to digital so I could pay for grad school. And when I hit the end of grad school, I realized that those side hustles were actually what I wanted to keep doing. Because I was still getting to tell amazing stories and lift different voices. It was just in an accessible and fun space. So I was reaching a lot more people than doing like academic papers. So I decided that's what I would do after grad school. And I ended up working in a museum for a few years and then moved over to Candid.
Oh, that's really cool. How long have you worked at Candid?
A little over a year now.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I'm such a fan. I think the content is just helpful and useful. It's a place that I send people a lot if they have questions about forming a nonprofit, founding a nonprofit, all that kind of stuff. For the digital marketing person out there, the small nonprofit marketer, how would you recommend that they get started first if they have never posted video before and if they are interested but maybe a little hesitant?
Yeah, I think, you know, the first key consideration is just even making sure your audience is there. If you're thinking you want to do video, don't just do it because it's hot and it's a buzzword and you feel like you should do it, or because some board member keeps asking why you're not doing it. I think you really need to make sure that your audience is there, either the audience who supports you or the audience that you're serving. And figure out if you really can take on the time to do it. As I said, you know, it's between 20 to 30% of my job when we're doing video consistently. Still right now, only doing 2 videos a week, we're probably talking 15% of my job. So imagine trying to dedicate that time. Because it's not just creating the content, engaging with the community, responding to comments, maintaining the account, keeping up with algorithms and trends, script writing, editing. There's a lot that goes into taking on a new content type. So really take time to figure out, is this a fit? Are you going to be able to create consistent quality content?
That's what, so I think a lot of people don't realize when you are managing a channel, it is not just posting what you had for lunch today. I don't know why people still think that is a thing. I don't know, but it's not that. It's just what you said. It's the research. It's the constantly learning about the algorithms and staying on top of the trends. It's measurement and analysis and reporting, community management. I mean, it's all the things. So that's what I recommend to a lot of my clients and students. If they're looking to jump on a new platform like Threads, which is the brand new thing right now, evaluate, can you do all of those things for this channel? Because it really is not just sort of getting on there. So is Candid on Threads? Yes. Okay.
Candid is on Threads.
Okay. How are you finding it? It's very early days when we're recording this.
Threads really reminds me of like old school Tumblr.
Oh, yeah.
It's a feel to it that's like this nostalgia and people are being really playful. And I think where we are right now, it feels exciting. I'm still not exactly sure, though, like where it's going to go. The approach that we're taking is like this, you know, spaghetti approach of just like we're throwing stuff out and seeing if it sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing is we're taking top content from across our different platforms, repurposing it and seeing what the audience likes. But yeah, it's just so hard to tell, you know, who this audience will be, what the content's going to be. There's also just a lot of challenges around accessibility at the moment. So they, you know, as of, I think, 2 days ago, alt text is now on the platform, but that wasn't there previously.
Yeah.
There's a lot of challenges with the lack of hashtags and how you navigate, how you search. So it is very early. I'm taking with Candid very much a like wait and see approach. We're posting, we're feeling it out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. We'll see how it ends up kind of playing into the broader strategy.
Right. And there's just huge, you know, like everything else, data privacy concerns and every other thing. And do we really want Meta to own everything? I mean, I have so many existential questions about it, but I've been enjoying it as well. But what I've been saying is very similar to a lot of the themes that you talked about. Really figure out, is this a place where you can reach your audience? Is your audience there? And is this something that you have time and bandwidth for? I mean, those are the really big questions. So thank you so much, Kate, for being on the podcast. Where can people find more about you, learn more about you and the work of Candid?
Well, I think one of the best places to go is just on social media to find us. We're candid.org on all your favorite platforms. You can also learn a lot more about, you know, what we're doing in social media, but also broadly on our blog, which is blog.candid.org. We will be sharing some updates on what's going on more with video and where we are with different platforms. So if you want to see the behind the scenes of what we're doing at Candid, that is the place to go.
Thank you so much. And thanks for just being transparent and honest and very open with your experiment. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's always exciting to get to share this type of information and be open about what's going on. I do feel like a rising tide raises all ships. So the more that we can share with each other, the better we can all do.
Mm-hmm. Well, hallelujah to that, my listeners. I will put the links in the show notes, but yes, blog.candid.org or candid.org. You'll find all their social media links. Check out those videos and check out what they're doing. Keep track and get inspired. That's what I always say. So thanks again, Kate, and to my listeners. Until next time, keep changing the world.
Well, hey there. I wanted to say thank you for tuning into my show and for listening all the way to the end. If you really enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app, and you'll get new episodes downloaded as soon as they come out. I would love if you left me a rating or a review, because this tells other people that my podcast is worth listening to. And then me and my guests can reach even more earbuds and create even more impact. So that's pretty much it. I'll be back soon with a brand new episode. But until then, you can find me on Instagram at JuliaCampbell77. Keep changing the world, you nonprofit unicorn.